Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I have my grandchildren here with me today.
Hello, shalom.
Chirp in.
Shalom,
chirp,
shalom.
Chirp, chirp. Shalom, this is Brandon Brim.
This is Destiny Raina Brim.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jared and Hannah. Hannah
Jared and Hannah. They're happy to have you. They're siblings and then our new little lady who's joined this family. And I wrote my Christmas letter to you that you'll be getting in the mail soon. And why Jesus said he came. Why did Jesus come? Actually, you could fill books with that. But Jesus gave us a very simple reason why he said he came. And it is recorded for us in the Psalms. Hannah, would you please read Psalm chapter 40, start with verse 6 and 7 and 8.
Sacrifice and meal offering, you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.
All right, I'm going to read you that from the King James here. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. So why did Jesus say he came?
To do the Father's will.
To do the Father's will. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. And so I come to do your will. So I'm reading to you now from my Christmas letter.
I mean, real quick, can they just get that if they call the ministry?
Sure, you can call the ministry, give us your name and address.
Okay.
And that number to call would be 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447, and just give us your name and address, and we'll send you the Christmas letter. Considering why he came could fill volumes. In this letter, I'm only going to consider one reason. The all-encompassing primary reason, and the reason Jesus said that he came. The evil motive fueling Satan's seductive temptations of Jesus in the wilderness was to convince him to reveal himself as the Messiah through quick supernatural manifestations, thereby circumventing the plan of God. For the Jews were anticipating a king Messiah who would overthrow Rome and establish his kingdom. Just think of it. Satan said, oh, turn this stone into bread. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. In other words, it was a real temptation. Show that you're the Messiah. But if he did it that way, it would not be the way of the cross and the plan of God. The thought for this message came as I studied the temptation of Christ in a Bible that came to me from Jeannie Wilkerson's library. I'd heard Jeannie say how enlightening this translation and its notes were, but that it was out of print. So I was very happy when her daughter Marilyn Olson gave the 7-volume Bible to me. And what I share here are comments from the Numerical Bible. So I'm reading you right straight now from the Numerical Bible. No, he will not take Satan's short road as if God's way were too long. It is he of whom it is written in the volume of the book. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will. Here he is. Thus he is. Simply subject and subject in satisfaction and delight to the will of another. He has for his whole course on earth no other motive. There is but one motive, the will of God. Lo, I come to do thy will is the principle of his life. See Hebrews 10:7. He has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 1:2 and 2:21. This principle of his life must be then the principle of our lives. If with him the governing motive was to do the will of God, if he rejected every motive that could be urged from his own necessities, how simple is it that for us also, the will of God must be our motive for action. Apart from this, there is no right motive possible. If by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live, what a sustenance of the true life within us to be thus day by day, receiving the messages of his will, guided by that wondrous voice, learning continually more the tenderness of his love for us, quote, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learner, Isaiah 50 verse 4. This is the utterance prophetically of the Lord himself. How blessed to be able to make it our own, and thus to have the fulfillment of those words, quote, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which you shall go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32:8. I've also just finished a syllabus on the book of Daniel for the Believer's Voice of Victory series on television I taught with Gloria Copeland. It will be aired in January and February 2014. So I thought you might enjoy this little tidbit or expert here at Christmas time. You remember that in the Babylonian captivity, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon came and captured some of the youth of Israel and took them back to go to the King's College, and one of them was Daniel and the three Hebrew children then. And when they came after these, Babylon's high offices included one known as the Rab Mag, two words, R-A-B-M-A-G. Rab Mag is a title. It is the title of the chief or the head of the Magi, the wise men. When Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem, it lists the officers who came with him. That's how we know they had such an office. Jeremiah 39:1. And it came to pass when Jerusalem was taken, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Babylon, and besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, a breach was made in the city, that all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, to wit. Now here's who was with them. Here's the leaders of that Babylonian army. Nergal-Sherazar, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsachim, Reb-Saras, Nergal-Sherazar, Reb-Mag, with all the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon. And then in Jeremiah 31:9-13, so Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebushazban, Rabsaris, and Nergal-Sherazar, Rab-Mag, and all the officers of the king. So there was a man named Nergal-Sherazar, and his office name was Rab-Mag. You can look in your King James Bible. You can see it. R-A-B, Rab, which means head, Mag, M-A-G, which means magi, or the wise men. Now, you remember that the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream? And you remember that none of the wise men could interpret that dream? And they came to Daniel, and he told Nebuchadnezzar the dream. And he said that Nebuchadnezzar had seen this big colossus. This is chapter 2 of Daniel. And he had seen this big colossus, a giant military-type figure, with a head of gold, arms of silver, belly and thighs of copper, legs of iron, and toes part of iron and part of clay. And he had seen the whole times of the Gentiles, the times that the Gentiles would tread down Jerusalem. And Daniel said to that king Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold, but you're not going to last forever. There's going to come a two-armed silver kingdom after you, which we found out later is the Medo-Persians. And then after that's going to come the copper kingdom, Alexander the Great, and Greece. And then's going to come the Iron Kingdom, Iron Legs of Rome. And then in the last days, the Roman Empire revived, which I believe is a European Union. It has multiple heads, multiple toes in this case. So when Daniel interpreted that dream, Nebuchadnezzar promoted him. Look what he promoted them to. Him too. Daniel chapter 2, verse 48. Then the king made Daniel great and gave him many great gifts and made him to rule over the whole province of Babylon and to be chief governor over all the wise men. So he was the Rab Mag of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel became the chief of all the wise men. He became the Rab Mag. The ancient Chaldeans were studiers of the heavens. Astronomy, as well as astrology, was their forte. We say, well, astrology and all the bad parts, but they also studied the science of it. We have 60-minute hours and 60-second minutes coming down from the Chaldeans. They're the ones that worked on a base 60 system. We have the degrees in a circle that started by the Chaldeans. So they were very scientific for their day as well. And Daniel was the head of them. He was the Rab Mag. Now, Daniel, as the Rab Mag, would have taught those under him, he's the chief, whose business was to study the heavens, he would have taught them about the coming king of the Jews and that a star was connected to his coming. Remember the prophecy, the ancient prophecy from Numbers? The king of Moab had hired Balaam to curse Israel as they came into Moab. And remember, he was on his way to curse them. What happened? His donkey stumbled. His donkey wouldn't go any further. There was a big angel in the path. And the donkey turned around and refused to go. And then the angel appeared to Balaam. And Balaam said, how can I curse whom God has blessed? You don't need to worry about witches cursing you if you'll just walk in the blessings and walk in faith and not in fear. And so Balaam then, God put words in his mouth to bless Israel. Even though he was an evil man, God put words in his mouth to bless Israel. And this is the prophecy concerning the tribe of Judah. He gave a prophecy for every son of Jacob. And this is the one for the tribe of Judah. In that tribe, he saw one coming. I see him. This is Numbers 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, while Israel doeth valiantly, and out of Jacob shall one have dominion. And so the Jews knew that a star would be connected. Daniel knew that a star would be connected with it. And he told those magi who were under him 500 plus years after Daniel, 550 or so. Those magi came and followed a star because they had had a Rab Mag. Remember what they said to Herod? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? So Daniel had taught them this ancient prophecy. They looked for his first coming, which was so long prophesied. We look for his coming again, so long prophesied, but now so near. So this is Billy Brim and family saying to you, enjoy the Christmas lights. Enjoy the Christmas spirit. Enjoy the Christmas love. Enjoy the giving. And Shabbat Shalom.